going to turn to our Bibles, if you would, to the book of John, chapter number 17. And we're going to deal with some things that I know that are very familiar with you, but there's going to be something here tonight that you might not be familiar with. And that's going to be towards the end, and so we're going to have a build-up towards that. But I basically just titled this message, Strolling Down Memory Lane. And that's what I got out of this tonight. And there's some things that take place before we get to that point. But I was very excited about preaching tonight and sharing some things with you folks that God has blessed me with in reading of scriptures and hearing sermons and things of that nature. And this particular one just really caught me off guard because I've never seen it before. And it's probably been taught on before, but it's probably one of those things that I've probably forgotten about. And that might be true with you tonight. So, like I said, I'm not teaching anything new, but there is something I really want to dig at tonight towards the end. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin reading. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here in your house, Lord, to open up your word and allow you to speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would just help us to really tune into the Word of God. Help us to really tune into the Holy Spirit. Lord, I know there's something here from your Word that you want to, every single one of us to learn here tonight. And we all might walk out of here learning something different. But Lord, our objective tonight is to learn from your Word. And so we thank you for these things, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Book of John, chapter 17, verse number 5, it says, these words, verse number 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes for heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished a work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And we'll get to that later on. My first point that I just want to get out here tonight is the hour. You look here in verse number one, it says, Father, the hour is come. And I look at that and I sit there and think, what does that mean, the hour is come? You go back to the first part of John, I believe it's in chapter 2. My memory might be slipping me, maybe in chapter 3, where Mary, it's chapter 3, I know 2, correct me if I'm wrong, someone will later, I know that, but where Jesus was asked by his mother to turn the water into wine, and he said, the hour has not yet come. And now we go later on to scripture where it says here, it says, Father, the hour has come. First of all, I want us to understand here one thing about Jesus Christ and what his goal and what his purpose here was on earth. Jesus' goal and his purpose here on earth was to bring glory to his Father. For the 33 years that he was on this earth, that was his main purpose. Yes, he had another purpose in mind, which was to die upon a cross and to save souls from hell. That is another purpose, but his other purpose was to glorify his Father. You think about that in those terms. How many of us have lived our life, think about this if you would, how many of us have lived our life to glorify our Father and to glorify our mother? Think about those. Because in reality, we want to please our parents and we want to do well for them and we want to make them happy. But when you think of the word glorify, it means to exhort, to put on high. And this is what Jesus was desiring to do in his life. So you think about that. Have you ever thought about that in that aspect? Have you wanted to glorify your parents? Have you ever wanted to exhort them? Have you ever wanted to put them above something else? And this is what Jesus' purpose, and this is one of his goals, was to glorify his Father. But the thing here, it baffles me because it says, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son. Then it goes on and says, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now I begin to look at this, and the question was asked, as he's talking to his Father, and you got to take this into context here, because Jesus is talking to his Father, and because of this, you're saying right now that Jesus is praying to his Father. He's having some one-on-one time with him. He's having some communication time with him. And then he says, the hour has come, glorify the Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. First off, it says, glorify thy Son. Well, the only glory that Jesus wanted, and you think about this, was the fact that he died on the cross for you and me. That's what his purpose here, besides glorifying his Father, was to bring glory to his Father by dying upon the cross. And so that question was asked. But here, this is, of course, it was in reference to his death. When Jesus was crucified upon the cross, he died for you and for me. Not only did it bring glory to him, but it brought glory to his Father. And that was his main objective. And so that here, the hour has come. The hour has come that when Jesus' death glorified him, but also his Father was glorified. You think about this. We live in a weird society. But Jesus, when you look at him in Scripture, Jesus was never concerned about himself. He was always focused upon others. He was focused upon his Father. He was focused upon other people's well-being, spiritual well-being. But Jesus never really took the time to focus upon himself. And I tell you what, when you think about that and begin to understand those things, if we are to live the life of Christ, should that not be us as well? Not thinking about ourselves? Because this is what Jesus was about too. He wasn't thinking about himself. He wasn't concerned about himself. He didn't even have a place to lay his head when you think about those things. So he wasn't really concerned about himself. He wasn't a man who talked about himself, who lifted him up, his own self. He wasn't a man about boosting his own ego. He wasn't that type of a man, but he's the type of a man that wanted to bring glory to his Father. But unfortunately, we're not like that. We like to talk about ourselves. We like to brag about ourselves, and we like to brag to others and how well we've done and on this thing and that thing. And that's who we are. That's how we are in life. But if we can just grasp, that's not what it's about. It's not about what we do. It's not about what we accomplish. It's not about the goals that we achieve here on earth. But it's about what Christ is doing in your life while you are here. That should be the focus in our life. You know, it's unfortunate that you can begin and talk to somebody, and within probably a few seconds, you can generally tell how the conversation is going to go. It's either going to go two ways. One, the person's not going to be concerned about themselves, and they're going to want to ask questions about you. This is one thing that my wife has taught me throughout the years. Chad, when somebody asks how you are, just say you're doing good, and don't sit there and dwell upon yourself, but turn it around and begin to ask them about how their day was and how are they doing in their life and things of that nature. And unfortunately, that doesn't always work for me because I get stuck on myself. Because it's so easy to wrap yourself up in that type of a situation. Well, I've done this, and I'm going about this today, and so forth. But I tell you what, there's nothing worse than talking to a person who is so self-involved in themselves, so conceited, and braggadocious about themselves. It's hard for me to have a conversation with somebody that's all about them. Well, we need to have a reality check. Who's it all about, folks? It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about his Father. That's who it's all about. And so that's where our concern should be, is towards them. It shouldn't be towards us. It should be towards Jesus. It should be towards his Father. And that's what it should be about. But unfortunately, that's not what takes place in our society. It's me, 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 me. That's how it is. And when it should be about God, 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 God. That's the way it should be. So that's how we should be really directing our lives. Jesus here, again, he wasn't here seeking to be glorified by others. Well, what do? We want to be glorified by others. I'm a prime example. I play basketball still. I don't know how much longer I can play the sport. My body's starting to shut down. I tell folks, there's a guy I play with, Doc. He's 73 years of age. And this guy can outrun me. He can push me down. And I say, man, would you guys please quit? And they go, why would we want to quit? You're the young pup on the team. I said, yeah, I'm the young pup, but I'm a Great Dane. I go, you guys are just little dogs. I go, I'm the Great Dane. My body's about to shut down. But even though as I go in and I go into the court and I want to play well. Why? Because I want to be recognized by others. I want others to see, hey, this guy's pretty good. But in reality, who's it all about? It's about me. And it shouldn't be that way. Yeah, I can go out there and play ball. It's fun to play. But I should recognize I didn't give myself the talents. And if you saw me play, you'd say, you don't have talents. And I would say, I'd agree with you. But it should be about God gave me the ability, God gave me the talent to go out there and to play the sport that I love to play. But in fact, we turn it upon ourselves. Yeah, I can do this because I've been working on this, that, and the other thing. And so we're seeking to be glorified by others. There's a problem with that. Because we're seeking to be man pleasers. That's what we're seeking. in reality, we should be seeking to please God. We should be seeking to be to glorify God and not to be glorifying ourselves. See, what the problem is, we have become gods. That's how we're looking at ourselves. We're saying, I'm better than God, and so therefore I'm going to glorify myself instead of glorifying God. And so we kind of need to have a reality check every once in a while. And so Jesus, even while he was here on earth, he wasn't seeking to be glorified by others, but he was glorified by others at some point in time. But his main objective was to glorify his Father. He didn't want to get off course. He didn't want to get off track. But unfortunately, we get off course and we get off track, and we want to bring glory to ourselves and we want to bring glory to other people as well, instead of bringing glory to the Father where it belongs. And so he is more concerned about glorifying his Father. And I tell you what, if Christ was more concerned about glorifying his Father, we too need to take on that application and learn for ourselves that we need to bring glory to the Father. And that's how we need to operate our daily lives. Is that an easy thing to do? It should be. But unfortunately, it's not at times. We should be concerned that we bring glory to the Father. We should be concerned, are we living our lives to glorify the Father? We should be concerned, am I doing my best in my job to glorify the Father? Am I doing my best wherever I go to bring glory to my Father? These are questions that you got to ask yourself, because these are questions that I ask myself. You know, when I get stuck in a situation at work, or if I get stuck in a situation with a customer, and they might make me irate, and my reaction could be one that can really deter people away. And so I have to be careful in how I react to people, and I'm not perfect at it. I've yet to really hone that in. But I got to be careful, because I want to bring glory to my Father. And I told you this a few months ago. Chris brought this up to me. She says, Chad, you got to be careful in how you respond to folks. And I said, why? They're treating me evil. They might walk in these doors someday, and you might be teaching them. And because of how you treated them, could turn them away. And I said, you know what? That's a very good point. So I got to live my life, even at work, to bring glory to my Father. And this is something that Jesus practiced in his life. The other thing that Jesus practiced in his life was selflessness. Again, he wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about his Father, and he was concerned about others. And if he was this way, then this is something that you and I should be practicing in our lives today, bringing glory to the Father. Now, there are things that I do in my life, and I know my brother can say the same thing, and my sister can say the same thing. We want to please our Father. We want to please our mother. But we don't live our lives, our whole lives, for that, because we're caught up within ourselves. And I'm not trying to say Jeff's a bad person or my sister's a bad person. That's just who we are by nature. I'm not saying that they're bad people. That's who we are. We don't live our lives to please them, but we should live our lives to please and glorify the Father. And that's how we should be in our life. Well, why should we glorify the Father? Well, because you look on in verse number 2, he gives us eternal life. He has given us something that no other man and that no other God could give us. He has given us eternal life. It says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He has offered us eternal life. Think about that. Did he have to do something like that? No, he didn't. But he chose to. Why? Because he wants to bring glory to his Father. And when glory comes to his Father, guess what? The Son's going to be glorified as well. And that's how it takes place. And so the hour that has come here is Jesus dying upon a cross for our sin. His hour has come, one that offers eternal life to those who ask and believe. In verse number in number two, it says that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse number 3 is very important. It says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. First of all, it says, he says to have eternal life is what? To truly know the Father. Again, you walk around in our world today and you see a lot of people and you hear a lot of people, yeah, I know Jesus, I'm good with Jesus, I know God. But in reality, they don't really know who God is. They've heard of God. They might have had some thoughts processed through their mind about God, but they don't really know God. Why don't they really know God? Because they have yet to really accept his salvation, his eternal life that he has offered to us. And so he says here, it says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee. Who's thee? Talking about God here, talking about Jesus. And it says, the only true God. Again, it goes back to what I've been talking about in Sunday school. The Israelites, they've fallen into a trap. They have been serving other gods. And in fact, who should they have been serving? The only true God that was before them. But that didn't take place all the time. And so we see here that he talks about he is the only true God. Not only does he do you have to know who the Father is, but he also states here in this verse that there's only one true God, but it doesn't stop there. He also says here, verse number 3, he says, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See, some folks believe that there's God, but then they won't believe in Jesus Christ. You go to the Mormon religion, they'll believe in a God, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, the Mormons believe that Jesus Christ is the son of Beelzebub. I think that's how that goes. And if I'm wrong, someone can please correct me after church, but that's been a few years ago. But you have to believe not only does the Father exist and he is true, but the Son exists and he is true. They're both the same. But some folks like to separate them. You can't separate God and the Father and Holy Spirit. They're all three one. But you will have other religions out there that will separate those three. You can't separate God, you can't separate the Father, and you can't separate the Holy Spirit. They're the whole package. And you can't break that up. And so you have these other religions that are out there that will say, yeah, I believe in God. But then you have some that sit there and say, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is nothing but the son of somebody else, or he's the brother and so-and-so. And so we got to put these two together. If you're going to believe in God, you're going to have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to accept that. And so he goes on and he says these things. And so we need to realize, not only do we have to believe that there is only one true God, but he also, this our God, has a son, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we must put our belief in there. He also goes on and talks in verse number 4. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. Now here we are again, back to Jesus talking about how he is glorifying the Father. And it talks about where he says, I have glorified thee where, folks? On the earth. Again, Jesus is not in heaven at this point in time. Jesus is here roaming around in this world. He's with his disciples, and he's walking the earth, and he's glorifying who? Glorifying his Father. And so if Jesus is here, and if he took the time to glorify his Father on the earth, then you and I, who have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, should be glorifying him as well while we are here on the earth. I got to ask you a question that I ask myself. Who are we bringing glory to while we're here? That's something for every single one of us to ponder and to think about, because if we think about those things, majority of the times, we're not glorifying the Father. And so Jesus says, I have glorified thee on the earth. And so he took the time. That was his mission. That was his agenda. That was his course that he stayed on. And he was faithful and he was true to that. And so he glorified his Father on the earth. And then we as his sons and then we as his daughters should be doing the same thing. In verse number 4, it says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work. Well, what's it talking about here, the work? See, God sent his son not just to come down here to do nothing. God sent his son here to do some work. Well, what was the work? That was to really reach the world that needed him. And Jesus, as he was here on the earth, spent time preaching to many folks while he was here. And through his ministry, even before his death, we have seen many folks who have who turned to him for salvation. I tell you what, when you begin to think about that, and you see these people, the men and the women and the children that would gather upon the hillside as he's preaching to them, and as he's out on the ship and they're on the hillside and he's preaching to them, and he's preaching salvation messages, and folks are convicted, and they come forward, or they might even stay there at their seats, and maybe the disciples met with them and dwelt with them, and those things, and they accepted Christ as their Savior. What took place? Because they accepted Christ, who's glorified? His Father. See, that was his mission, was to bring glory to his Father. He brought glory to his Father while he was here on the earth. He says, I have finished the work. Folks, we are here tonight. We have a job to do. Do you realize that? If God sent his Son to do the work, and he's no longer here, and he's in heaven tonight, who's here? We are. His sons, his daughter, his children, we call him Father, and because the Son is now in heaven dwelling with his Father, well, who's here to do the work? We are. Does Jesus need our help? No, but he wants our help. And so while we are here upon this earth, we have nothing but a short time here. Life is nothing but a vapor. You read that in the book of James, and you realize how quick life flies by. I remember looking back, I'm looking at my daughter, and she's 13 years old now. She just became a red belt in Taekwondo last week, and she's put a lot of work into that. But I tell you what, that didn't happen overnight. She started that thing when she was 5 years old. And I'm beginning to think, wow, where has the time gone? She should be like a master taijutsu or something with all those years that she's been in there. But I tell you what, you look back at that time from 5 to 13, it's been quick. And I tell you what, we waste a lot of time. And I'm not saying just you, I'm talking about myself. And so God here gave his son a job to do. And his son did the job. And now that we are here, folks, we have a job to do. Our job here is to glorify the Father. Our job here is to pick up where Jesus left off here on earth and begin to tell folks of how great Jesus is and begin to tell folks of how great God is. That's the work that we are left here to do. It says, I have finished the work. What does that mean? He completed the task that God had gave him. Think about this. How many tasks have you started in your life that you have left unfinished? Boy, I can think of many tasks that I have started in my life and I've left unfinished. A lot of them in my mind. Man, I started a lot of tasks in my mind. And I never finished a blooming one of them. But I tell you what, when God has given us something to do, and he has told us specifically to do something, that means that we have a job. And since he has given us a job to do, no different than us going in our jobs every day, we need to take that seriously. And so we have been, I hate to say this word, so I won't say the word, and you're going to ask me later, what was that word? I'm not going to tell you. But we have some serious business to do on earth. Life here on earth is not about us trying to accomplish everything that we want to accomplish here on earth, trying to gather up and bring in all the riches and all the wealth of this world. That's not what life is about for a believer. A life for a believer is about doing the work that God wants them to do. And whatever God tells you to do, I don't know what he's told you to do. I only know what he's told me to do. You should be accomplishing that task that he has given you. And when you get done with that task, guess what? He's going to give you another one, hopefully. I can remember growing up in my household, we've had many chores to do. And we completed those chores. Guess what? There is more chores to do. One of the worst chores that I can ever remember doing is chopping wood. I hated chopping wood. I can barely lift my shoulders today. I mean, I can used to be able to lift my shoulders up to this high, and now it's only this high. You guys are catching that. You'll wake up there. But I tell you what, when those chores ran out, guess what? For some crazy reason or another, my father would go out and get more firewood. And I'd have folks that, my friends that would want to stay all night, and I remember one particular night, a friend of mine stayed all night, guess what my father is doing? He had this chainsaw out, he's cutting all this wood, wife, so his kids can go out there and chop it later on. And so a couple weeks later, I asked my friend if he wanted to come over again and stay all night. He goes, oh, no, not if your dad's chainsaw happy. That's exactly what came out of his mouth. But he made sure that there was more work for us to do. Why? Because when you're working, you're staying out of trouble. He was keeping us busy. Mom was keeping us busy. So when God's giving you a task, what's he doing? He's really keeping you busy so you stay out of trouble when you think about it in those terms. So Jesus here says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished a work which thou gavest me to do. And we need to be seeking and doing the work that God has called us to do. And so his father gave him a task no different than the father giving you a task to do. And look what happens. Jesus completed it. He says, I have finished a work. And so when God gives us a task, we should complete that task and finish it. The thing I see here in this verse here is the obedience of a son to his father. You think about that. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all equal. And you see the son being obedient to the father. Okay, Father, whatever task you give me, I'm going to do. Because I want to bring glory to you. And you see the humbleness, the obedience that Jesus had in his life. Verse number 5, it says, And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, which the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And I just titled this last verse, Memory Lane. You see Jesus reflecting on the past here. You know, I've spent a majority of my week just reflecting on some things that I have done in my life, reflecting on some people that were in my life. You know, just a minute ago, I reflected on Jalen and her life. I went down memory lane. And there are some times where I would like to go back in the past and relive some of those things. Some folks might not want to, but there are some things that I like to go back and relive. There are some things that I like to go back and recorrect, to be honest with you. But unfortunately, we can't do those things. And so we see here in verse number 5, it says, "Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Well, what's this verse mean? Jesus was talking about the time that he and his Father had before everything came into an existence. It's kind of like this, if I can put it in these terms. He's basically saying, "Hey, Dad, you remember the time when it was just me and you, and we went out and played ball? You threw the ball to me, and I threw it back to you. Hey, Dad, you remember those bike rides that we used to go on? Nobody was around, it was just me and you." These are kind of the thoughts that I have in my mind as Jesus is reflecting back. He says, "That I had with thee before the world was." Jesus was reflecting on his past. He was remembering the time that him and his Father had before the world was even created. See, Jesus, here, you got to understand something. He's no longer in heaven. He's here in this earth. And he goes back and he remembers the past. And he goes back and he reminisces of the past with his Father. Why was he doing these things? Well, I look at it like this. Maybe Jesus was homesick. Did you ever think of that? I remember one time that I didn't like being away from my folks at night. My daughter kind of suffered through that too for the first part of her years. But I remember I used to go over to people's homes, but I did not like to go because I missed the security of my mom and my father. I remember one particular year, my great-grandmother, she got sick, and we all went to camp, and my mom could not go to camp. And even though my father was with me and my siblings were with me, we get out to camp, and it was on my mind most of the time that we left mom back home. And as soon as I got up to camp, I was just thrown up. I was miserable. I was homesick. I wanted my mom. And I just couldn't wait to get back home. Camp could not fly by any faster for me that week. And it didn't. It just drug and drug and drug. But I wanted to be home. Why? Because I was homesick. I wanted to be in her presence as I'm throwing up in an old bunkhouse in front of all these guys, and here I am just a little kid. I tell you what, I shouldn't say I enjoyed this. I never enjoyed being sick and throwing up. I never enjoyed those things. But when that happened, I can remember my mom many times just coming around and just making sure I was okay, putting her hand on my head, giving me a cold washcloth and things of that nature, trying to bring comfort to me the best that I can. Passing out on the bathroom floor due to exhaustion, and my mom's still there just waiting for me, making sure that I'm okay. And why? Because why did I feel this way at that time? Because I was homesick. Well, maybe Jesus was homesick. Maybe he was longing to be with his Father. Maybe he couldn't wait for his task, his hour to be done, to where he gave up his life for you and me so that he can go back to be with his Father. Again, remember, he's remembering his past. He's remembering the time that they had before the world had begun. And oftentimes, I've reflected on my past. Oftentimes, you folks reflect on your past, and you want to relive them. But we see here, not that only did Jesus want to glorify his Father, but this is something that I want you to really see here. He's reflecting on his past. But here's what I want to end up with. He had a longing to be with his Father. Think about that. He had a longing to let that relationship grow, to get back to that bond that they had before he came to this earth. He missed that. He relished in that. And he desired to go back home. Why? Because he wanted to be with his Father. Think about that for a second. Let that sink in for a second. Do you long to be with the Father today? Do you long to have that relationship with him? Do you go back like Jesus did in this verse number 5 of chapter number 17 and reflect on the past and say, hey God, hey, Jesus, do you remember when it was just you and me? But God, I've allowed so many things to come into my life, and I've allowed myself to have distance between you and me. And for some reason or another, God, it's no longer just me and you. It's me, you, and everybody else. Can I say something to you folks? God wants it just to be you and him. He wants it just to be you and him. He has a longing for you to have a relationship with him, because he was longing to be with his Father. He knew how important that relationship was with him. And that hasn't changed. But unfortunately, we allow this world to close in on us. And we allow the things of this world to become more and more important. And we shut out God. And it's no longer just him and me, or you and him. It's him and everybody else. Can I say something to you folks tonight? If that is you tonight, my hope and my prayer for you is, first of all, reflect on the past. Remember when it was just you and him. Remember when he saved your soul. And you were so excited and you were so thrilled about what he has done in your life. And for the next week, maybe the next month, or maybe the next year, it was just you and him. You had a great time with him. You got in his word. You read his word. You became involved in prayer time. You allowed yourself to communicate with God. If that is you tonight and you've walked away from that, my prayer for you is I hope you go back to where it's just you and the Father. I hope you go back and say, I long to be with you, Father. I long to where it's just you and me. Why? Because I long to have a relationship with my Father. See, if Jesus was able to do this, and if he had a longing, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I'm going to sound like a broken record anyway. That should be you and I. That should be you and I. I like it when my brother and I get together and it's just him and me. I like those times. I like it when it's just me and my Father, just me and him. Because those are special times. Everything's shut out. You know what I'm getting at. That's what God wants to have with you. That one-on-one time. Longing to have a relationship with him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your word that we were able to open up tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that if there's someone here tonight that is struggling to have that relationship, Lord, if they've shut you out for some reason or another, Lord, my prayer tonight for them is that they would turn back to you, where it's just them and you and nobody else. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.